John Demjanjuk lost his long legal battle to remain in this country yesterday. The former auto worker was flown to Munich, where his German lawyers filed a challenge to the arrest warrant that accuses him of being an accessory to the murder of 29,000 people, most of them Jews, when he allegedly worked as a guard at a Nazi death camp during the Second World War. Demjanjuk maintains his innocence. He is 89 years old and claims to be too ill to stand trial. Why does a frail old man in a wheelchair face charges that will soon be at least 65 years old? Why should the U.S. and other countries continue to spend the time and money to ferret out the last few alleged perpetrators of the Holocaust when, even if charges can be proven, they were young men who played a part but did not plan or direct the Holocaust? These are questions that Aaron Schwartz found himself answering in Canton, Ohio, where John Demjanjuk lived until yesterday. Schwartz is an Israeli emissary who serves the Canton Jewish Community Federation. If you'd like to talk with him about why this matters after all this time, our phone number, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Aaron Schwartz joins us now from his office in Ohio. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hello.
And how did you respond when people said, he's lived his whole life in Ohio. It's a long time since this happened. Why don't you just leave him alone?
Yes. The most important thing, first of all, it's a legitimate question especially from the young generation, because they don't want to spend time and money about history. But I don't look at it as the history, because I look at it as the importance of the future. We need to bring the message to the rest of the world that some of the things we can never forget and never forgive, and we have to put this man in trial, even if he was 105 years old, not only from the Israeli point of view, but also from the American and the whole world point of view.
Why from the American point of view?
Because the United States of America, and it's not a secret, is the main leader of the world. And the United States of America is dealing with war criminals around the world, like Al-Qaeda leader, and with Darfur criminals, what is happening in Darfur. And we need to make sure that there is no president like sending for free war criminals that committed crimes not only against Jews, but against other people, other nations around the world.
As we mentioned, the 29,000 victims, mostly Jews, but certainly not all Jews. And, well, Jews were about half of the victims in the Nazi death camp, so terrible things obviously happened. But you mentioned talking with young people there in Ohio. What kinds of questions did they ask you?
They claimed in the beginning, they said, we are wasting too much time anyways, halfway underground. He's dying. We don't need to waste so much time, money, efforts on these kind of things. And let's just let him die. And when we had the discussion, we said to them how important it for the world to make sure that we never let things like crimes against humankind and mankind and humanity happen again. And eventually, we were very surprised to see that they agreed with us.
Crimes against humanity, terrible things, of course, and no worse example ever than the Holocaust during the Second World War. Yet, enforcement in other areas have been, well, scattershot at best. You look at the situation in Cambodia, where just now, long after the killing fields, the first trials are getting underway, long after many of the perpetrators have died.
Right. And we see it in other places. We saw it in Darfur. We saw it in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, back in the beginning of the 90s. We saw it with the Romanian leader back in 88, 89. And all these cases, all these stories show us one main message. We shall never forgive these people, because if we will forgive them, if we will give up on the principle of what mankind is about, we will be sorry for that in 20 or 30 years from now in the next case, because unfortunately, the Holocaust wasn't the last one and Darfur is not the last one, and next year it will be in somewhere else around the globe.
Will you and your compatriots, after the last Nazi perpetrator of the Holocaust dies, which should not be all that many years from now, then devote your efforts to hunting down these other people?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last sentence.
After the last Nazi perpetrators of the Holocaust die, and that should not be all that many years from now, after that, will you and your brethren then devote your efforts to hunting down the perpetrators of Darfur, or Rwanda, or Cambodia?
Yes, it is important for us. It's not only because he's Nazi, it's because it's important for us as people and as informal representative of the state of Israel. I can tell you that we are involved with a lot of other cases, other hunting cases, because it's important for us because we are part of the big village called the world.
You mentioned an informal representative of the Israeli government. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we are both, Lihi, my wife, and me, we are emissaries. We're informal ambassadors from the World Zionist Organization, Representative Israel in Northeast Ohio, in Akron and Canton. And we work for both communities, Jewish communities and general community, under two main goals. One is advocating for Israel, and the second one is to enhance the connection between Israel and the communities in Akron and Canton.
We're talking with Aaron Schwartz, as he mentioned, an Israeli emissary serving in the Akron-Canton area of Ohio, which was, until yesterday, where John Demjanjuk also lived. After all this time, why is it important that he be face charges of being an accessory in the murder of 29,000 people at a Nazi death camp? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Sean, and Sean's calling us from Crestwood in Kentucky.
Yes, and I followed the case for many years because I've actually married into the Jewish community up in the Akron-Canton area. We're down here now. And one of the things I wanted to say, and I do agree we do need to hunt down and punish the people from all the genocides, but the U.S. Attorney's Office had him extradited when they knew he could not have committed the crime when the Russian archives, the Soviet archives, came open, and he spent 8 years on death row in Israel, not knowing if this was the next day he'd be executed.
And we're having a hard time with Sean's phone line, but I think what he's talking about, Aaron Schwartz, is the earlier allegation by the U.S. government and also by the Israeli government that John Demjanjuk was the so-called Ivan the Terrible, the guard who did such terrible things at Treblinka. He was deported to Israel, faced trial, convicted, and later found not guilty, that there was insufficient proof to say that he was Ivan the Terrible. And the charges that surround him now are about activities, alleged activities of his when he allegedly served as a guard at another camp entirely, Sobibor.
Yes, he's right. Unfortunately, fortunately, Israel is a very strong democracy and the legal system is very very high quality legal system we have in Israel. But unfortunately, sometimes the legal truth or the perception is stronger than reality, than the real truth. And I don't know if this gentleman remember, but the appeal to the Supreme Court happened in the late 80s and the beginning of the 90s, when the first documents were released from the Soviet Union and the former Eastern Germany, and they couldn't find all the documents in time, and it fell down only because of bureaucracy. Or else, and this is just a hint or just a guess, I believe that if the rest of the world, including Germany and the United States of America, would think that because of the legal truth that happened to send Demjanjuk to free back in the 90s, they wouldn't make so much effort to hunt him down again. And the immigration forms...
This is another issue, but doesn't it sound a little bit vindictive to say, here's a man, we accused him of one thing and found out we couldn't prove it, and now we're charging him with something completely different?
Yeah, It's not exactly that it's completely different, because eventually we're talking about the same story, about...
But a different man at a different camp doing different things.
Right. Sometimes, unfortunately, again, the legal truth is stronger than the truth, than reality. What I think from what I read and know and remember from the trial is that eventually everybody knows that we're talking about this evil John and terrible John. And because of... different picture from different time, I don't think you can reflect on different trials. One more thing about it is that we have to remember that in the Nazi world back in the 40s, some of the officers had different positions in different places in different times. And this was part of this huge, evil, very oiled machine called the Nazis.
We're talking with Aaron Schwartz, an Israeli emissary serving the Canton, Ohio Jewish Community Federation. He's with us from Ohio. I apparently failed my Ohio geography test. Seven Hills, which is the suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. That's where John Demjanjuk lived. It was not near Canton. I apologize for that. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Mike on the line. Mike is calling us from Ithaca, New York.
Hi, Aaron. I hope you guys can hear me. I don't hear anything there.
We can hear you fine.
Okay, yes. I believe that the Holocaust and genocidal events like it are the most deplorable thing in the world, and we should prevent them, and they are in danger of reoccurring every generation. But the way to fight it is not to have a revenge mentality. I don't believe in capital punishment. If we find these people, perhaps to rehabilitate them psychologically would be a very good idea, but not to punish them. Because this kind of punishment type, revenge type behavior perpetuates the hatred and the tendency for future Holocaust.
My understanding is not charged with a capital crime. Germany does not believe in the death penalty either. But a quick response from Aaron Schwartz?
Yes, three comments. One, in Israel there is no death penalty except for one law regarding to Nazis criminal, and Nazis criminal only. The second comment is that I totally agree that we do not need any revenge, and you can see it today with a great relationship between Germany and Israel, starting with the Chancellor and the Israeli Prime Minister, to the last citizen. We have a very good and wide program of Germans, young Germans, who come to Israel.
And quickly, if you could.
Yes, and
very quickly, if you could.
Yes, and the last comment, and I went personally to Germany, and I was a visitor of the Israel of the German army. And the last comment, we have to separate between the Nazis criminals and the rest of the German nation. We don't have any problem with the German nation. The Nazis criminal, and this is a message that we have to bring to the world. We have to chase after them only because they committed these crimes.
Mike, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. And our thanks as well to Aaron Schwartz. Thank you, sir, for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Schwartz, an Israeli emissary serving the Canton, Ohio Jewish Community Federation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.